In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our flesh, God walked to the bed of a paralyzed man and found faith in the man and among those around him. There is among the Hebrews an ancient way of prayer where those who love God gather together and they study God and his ways with men. And it's said that when this happens over them, the Shekhinah of God, the presence of God, hovers. It's easy for us to remember that kind of gathering in the presence of God, of those who are in communion with one another and him, by studying the ways of the Lord in the world, when we consider the gathering of those around the paralytic who are filled with faith rather than fear and despair. But in this case, it is not the invisible Shekhinah, the presence of God that just hovers over them. God himself in the flesh comes to be with them. And there is a oneness between Christ and those who are gathered around the bed of a suffering man. The man is not alone. He has the sustaining love and affection and support of those who are gathered around him. And this draws the presence of God. God has come into the world in order to be amongst us in a world where sin and suffering and death are a kind of law of necessity that are inescapable. Now there are those who spend their lives trying to escape them, trying to become powerful enough or famous enough or wealthy enough that they raise themselves up above all of the others, and they don't suffer as much the common human experience of living in a world where suffering sooner or later comes into our lives, and for some people their whole lives are lives of suffering. It is a reality in the world. God comes into the world in order to deal with that. And that's why he comes to the bed of this suffering man, where there is at the same time the presence of faith. And there is nothing more natural that God could choose to do. Christ incarnate, come to give us salvation, than that he should forgive the man his sin. Because that's the difficulty, that's the problem. It's not just the presence of suffering in the world, it's the fact that we are cut off from God. But here, in this place, where there is this communion of love and compassion, even in the face of suffering, Jesus Christ is amongst them and one of them. And in that atmosphere of love in the presence of suffering, Christ heals the sins of the man. But there are also present there scribes. Scribes who have separated themselves from the life of suffering of this man and those who have concern for him. They have made the law of Moses into a kind of weapon to defend themselves, to raise themselves up above the common herd. And from that place outside of the experience of suffering that is shared by all human beings who refuse to lift themselves above the suffering of others, as these men have, not by way of fame or wealth, but by way of the law of God itself, the law of Moses. From outside of the sharing of the life of suffering that is the common lot, they condemn not just the man for being someone who is suffering, but they condemn God himself. They say that Christ blasphemes by forgiving the sins of the man. And it is they who are blaspheming, although they don't realize it. They have judged God himself. God has come into the world in compassion to make common cause with the suffering and the poor, and to make the presence of suffering in the world something that, if it is accepted in the love of God, can be the door into a moral freedom and salvation. He has come to change the meaning of suffering. He hasn't come to bless the rich and the powerful. He goes to the poor and the suffering because he means to deal with the reality of suffering. The center of this reading is not the healing of the man. If we hear these passages from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from the perspective of the world, that is what we will focus on. We'll focus on the fact that Christ came, there was a paralyzed man, he had a conflict with the scribes, but in the end, the important thing is that Jesus healed the paralytic. He rose from his bed and walked out into the world. And we're amazed that such power is given to men. But the focus, the center of these passages isn't on the healing. The healing came second. The first thing that Christ and that God himself is concerned about is the common oneness that he makes with us in the midst of suffering in this world, a world where we are at the mercy of the laws of necessity. And some, by standing on the backs of others, are able to find ways of lifting themselves out and making themselves temporary exceptions of the common lot, of realizing that suffering needs to be dealt with in this world. But Christ comes and deals with that reality. He makes common cause with those who are suffering. That's the center of this reading. There's an expression that is found in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. I don't get to quote the Anglican Book of Common Prayer very often, but this is a great opportunity. I don't quote it in exactly the same way that it is used in the context of that book of prayer, but still, it is significant and the words are good and clear. With respect to Christ's healing of the paralytic, as it says in the Book of Common Prayer, if we applied those words to this healing is an outward sign of an inward grace. An outward sign of an inward grace. But the inward grace, and here we have to leave the Anglicans behind because they reject the divine energies of God present in the world, which is how we understand grace. Grace isn't just something that God from outside of the world just kind of zaps into the world. Our understanding of grace is that the grace of God is present in all things everywhere. The presence of God in the world is the actual presence of God. His grace is his presence. Here, Christ is present. He is with the suffering. And the outward sign of that inward grace is the healing. It's secondary. Secondary to the primary reality of the presence of God in the world amongst the suffering. When the scribes accuse Jesus of blasphemy, he turns to them. He asks them, which is easier, to forgive the sins of the man or to say, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, he says to the man, take up your bed and walk. It is the sign of the inward grace of the presence of God in this world. The presence of God that makes communion possible between God and man. That is salvation. That's the center of this reading. That's the center of this event. The other thing that we are remembering today is the first six ecumenical councils. And the reading for the first six ecumenical councils, our second reading today, is from the Gospel according to St. John. It's when Jesus is in the garden and he's praying to God the Father. He says he's not praying for the world, he's praying for those that he has been given out of the world. And he says to God the Father, glorify me with the glory that I had from before the world was. And we know that he's talking, when he says, glorify me, about the cross. The Son of God is glorified on the cross because that is where he deals with the meaning of sin and suffering and death in this world and makes it into a door of oneness and communion with God the Father through Christ himself, who is dying on the cross. When we, like those who are gathered around a paralytic, find our faith in a oneness with those who are suffering, God finds a oneness between those suffering people and himself. Because on the cross he took suffering, the presence of sin and suffering and death, and he made it into something that we are baptized into but are able to rise out of, as the man arose, as a sign of the inward grace of Christ's transformation, of the meaning of suffering. That's what it's all about. And we find that already foreshadowed here when Christ comes to the paralytic. Jesus, the Christ, the suffering servant, prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, let those that you have given me be one as we are one. One with the foreshadowed communion that we see already in the healing of the paralytic. Let them be one as we are one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.